who has a very important and relevant lesson for all of us in store. And we do hope that we can present and dive into
the demigods. The directors of the three worlds wanted to give me whatever benediction I desired. Imagine a big demigod would appear here, Lord Brahma, or even Lord Shiva, and would say, each one of you, come to me. I will give you whatever you want. You have 5 minutes time to think about it. I can guarantee you, see me now in this part of the room. There would be a long queue. So let us hear what is Maharaj Khatvanga thinking in this situation. That the demigods wanted to actually give him whatever he wanted to have, and they were able to give it. The demigods, the directors of the three worlds, wanted to give me whatever benediction I desired. I did not want the benedictions, however, because I am interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created everything in this material world. I am more interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead than in all material benedictions. Purport. A devotee is always transcendentally situated. Param drishtva nivartate. One who has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead is no longer interested in material sense enjoyment. Even such an exalted devotee as Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest for the sake of material benefit. But when he actually saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he refused to accept any material benediction. He said, Svamin kritatusmin varam nayache. My dear Lord, I am fully satisfied with whatever you have given me or not given me. I have nothing to ask from you, for I am fully satisfied to be engaged in your service. This is the mentality of a pure devotee who does not want anything material or spiritual from the Personality of Godhead. Very interesting. Let us again hear the sentence, which is a little interesting. This is the mentality of a pure devotee who does not want anything material or spiritual from the Personality of Godhead. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore called Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha, the association of persons who are simply satisfied in thoughts of Krishna. Being absorbed in thoughts of Krishna is neither expensive nor troublesome. Krishna says, Manmana Bhavamat Bhakto Majaji Mang Namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, offer obeisances and worship me. Anyone can always think of Krishna without difficulties or obstacles. This is called Krishna Bhavanamrita. One who is absorbed in Krishna Bhavanamrita has no material benefits to ask from Krishna. Instead, such a person prays to the Lord for the benediction of being able to spread his glories all over the world. Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhaktir ahaituki tvayi. A Krishna conscious person does not even want to stop his cycle of birth and death. He simply prays. I may take birth as you like, but my only prayer is that I may be engaged in your service. This is a prayer of a Krishna conscious person. I would suggest that we pray this. Please repeat by repeating after me. I may take birth as you like, but my only prayer is that I may be engaged in your service. Yes. That I may be engaged in your service. Yes. This is a very elevated prayer. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatanine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaubhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. For those devotees who have joined our Bhagavatam class today, because it is Sunday and a day off from duties in the office and so on, I would like to give just a brief summary of this part of the Bhagavatam so that you can appreciate and understand this text even better. We are hearing in this part of the Bhagavatam about Maharaj Khatvanga, a great and saintly king and also a great Kshatriya or Varya. After he fought a battle for the demigods where he helped them, he asked them, how long do I still have to live? And the demigods were answering him, you only have a few moments. Maharaj Khatvanga then remembered his childhood, in which he had very extensively worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, went down to the earthly planetary systems and engaged himself in a very deep and absorbed meditation or practice in Bhakti Yoga. He prayed, amongst other things, to the Lord. They are beautiful prayers, and one of them, he says what he is going to do now, just a few moments before his death. He said, therefore I should give up my attachment for things created by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I should engage in thought of the Lord, and should thus surrender unto him. A few months ago in our Veda Academy, I was requested to give a seminar about death, the gate to immortality. And one of the points which we made in this is that there is really no death for the eternal soul, the Krishna. When the Lord of Death, Yamaraj, was asked, death, Who are you? He explained, I'm an illusion, only existent for those who've forgotten that they are eternal. That's me, an illusion for those who are an illusion. So, to understand that we are eternal part and parcels of Krishna is the basis for someone who wants to be out of illusion, someone who wants to be on the spiritual platform, needs to remember that I am a part of Krishna. The Upanishads start their instructions by saying, O children of immortality, they don't mean our bodies with this, our bodies are mortal. They don't mean our positions in this world, they mean us as eternal souls. O children of immortality, now listen. How can we as devotees always be in such a mood that we understand ourselves to be eternal souls and parts of Krishna? Our minds are so diverted. Even while I'm starting to give this lecture, some devotees look here, some devotees look there, some devotees think of their quarrel last night with their wives and or children, some think about disturbing political news from the newspaper or from the gossip club in the temple. It is very difficult to concentrate and be in this mood that, oh Lord, I'm your part. It's very difficult. I also find it not always the most easy remembrance in my life when I'm in a busy day of doing service and so on and so forth. But at the same time, this is the basis or the starting point of Krishna consciousness. Once there were two Brahmanas who were discussing about Maharaj Janaka. Maharaj Janaka is called a Videhi. Videhi means someone who understands he's not the body, but he is an eternal soul. And they started to speak about themselves. Our king is surrounded by so many things which can divert him. You know, he has to rule a kingdom, he has a large family and many responsibilities. Why is it that in the midst of all this diversion, he can remain concentrated on the point that he is part and parcel of Krishna, that he is a pure spiritual soul? How does he do it? And these two brahmanas were talking about this amongst themselves. And then one brahmana said, well, why don't we simply go to him and ask him? I have also young listeners, and this is something for the young, our children who are here. Please listen very carefully, this you will be able to understand. Why is it that he's so concentrated? It's almost if I would come to Devakinandan Prabhu and say, Devakinandan, I have all over the world, we hear news how extremely expert you are to engage people and even influential people in devotional service. What is your secret? I will go to Devakinandan and maybe he will tell me. So they wanted to know from Maharaj Janaka, what is your secret, please? How can you be so concentrated in the midst of all this material things? So one Brahmana said, well, let us better not go to Janaka and ask him, because you never know the mood of the king at that particular moment. Maybe it's a little dangerous to ask him such a private question. No, no, said the other Brahmin. Our king is a saint, a sant. He will not mind. So they went, and in the morning there was the audience of Maharaj Janaka. That meant people were there to ask him questions or advices. And the king then said, the two brahmanas have come. What can I do for you, my dear brahmanas? Oh, said the one brahmana, we have one question. How do you do it to always remain so concentrated on Atma Gyan, on this knowledge about the soul? So Janaka looked at the two. He didn't say anything for a moment. And then he exploded with rage. How do you dare to ask such a question to me? This is totally improper. And as a just punishment, you will be killed tomorrow by hanging on the rope. At 10 o'clock, you will be executed, and the whole kingdom will be there to see what rascal people you are. Said the brahmanas. And the one brahmana said, see, I told you, never trust a musician, a monkey, and a king. He told in the ear of his other brahmana. Now we have to die. The Janaka said, yes, but you will be able to spend your last night in this residence which I have built for the ministers from different countries. Enjoy it to your best capabilities. So the brahmanas went. They saw a beautiful palace with wonderful rooms, male and female servants, beds with white silk, white as a foam of milk, bathrooms who glistened with jewels. Even the faucets and the sinks were made of the most expensive materials. But although they were in the palace, they only thought about the rope. So the morning came, and one servant came and very politely came and said, now your bath is ready. And he brought them to the bathroom, and there were golden buckets with perfumed water and other luxury items. But the brahmanas only thought about the rope. Why do you look so worried? Enjoy this. The king has given this for you to enjoy, said the servant. We can't enjoy it tomorrow. In a few hours, when the sun is a little higher up, we will be hanging and dying a terrible death. And I'm so afraid of pain, said one brahmana, especially at the neck. Well, said the servant, if you don't like it, why don't you go to Janaka and tell him if he can't do something else with you? Can we do this? Of course. Our king is a saint. Everyone knows. So the brahmana said, why don't we try? We have nothing to lose. And they went again and said, my dear king, your punishment is too severe. Why do you have to do this? Oh, said Janaka, you don't like my punishment? Well, we can do something else. You can balance a pot of oil on your head, and there will be a servant next to you with a sword. The moment that you drop even one drop of oil on the floor, he will cut your head. It goes faster, maybe. Would you like? That's the only thing I can do. But you have asked a question which you should not have asked, and you should have known. Okay, said the Brahmanas, we accept your second punishment. So, yes, said the king, and you can balance this oil while going through my town. Look, have a nice look at the town and enjoy our town. The Brahmana looked at each other. What is Janaka's mood? He's like, what is he saying all this time? But they accepted. So they went. Each one had a pot of oil. They concentrated very much on the oil. They went through the wonderful marketplace. They saw the beautiful palace. But really all they saw was this pot of oil. And then one bull came to one Brahmana. He charged, you know, he was maybe desiring a cow or something. He was very fast. And this Brahmana immediately jumped. And for a moment, the oil became topsy-turvy. And not only, like a cup of oil, you know, you can imagine it. It was going like this, and he was jumping, and it was coming out like this much. And for those who need illustrations, the Brahmana was now thinking, any minute the sword is coming. But the guard who was next to him with his sword was just looking at him and smiling. What's going on here? Said the Brahmanas. Well, said the guard, our king wants to see you when you have finished your walk through the town. He just wants to see you one more street. So they were carrying. Hopefully we don't lose any oil. Then the guard said, okay, come now to the king. So Janaka received them and said, thank you very much. Please forgive my offense. You had asked me how, in the midst of all this diversion of ruling a kingdom, Hare Krishna, you were not diverted this time. You looked, and now you are the one to know what's going on. Your attention is with us, fortunately. You were asking me how in the midst of all this diversion I kept my concentration. And I want to ask you now a question in return. When you were in the palace thinking you had only one night to live, what were you thinking about? The palace, the rooms, the entertainment which was provided? No, said the Brahmanas, we only thought about the robe. Good, said Janaka. My second question is, how did you like my town? Have you noticed the architectural wonders? No, said the Brahmanas, we only thought about the sword, your majesty. Aha, said Janaka, you were very concentrated. In the same way, I am also concentrated. I'm concentrated not on the robe or a sword. I'm concentrated on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord whom I worship. This is my secret, since you asked. Prabhupada here in this purport talks about this as well. He said the members this Krishna consciousness movement is therefore called Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha, the association of persons who are simply satisfied in thoughts of Krishna. See, if you want to practice concentration, you need to establish circumstances which are favorable for this. In a very dramatic or even negative sense, Janaka created a circumstance which was favorable so that the brahmanas could concentrate themselves on only one thing, in this case, their own punishment or their own death. In Krishna consciousness, we also have to learn to concentrate our mind. Rupa Goswami says that all the rules and regulations which a devotee follows are meant to accomplish two things only. That he always remembers Krishna and never forgets Krishna. Ours is a movement for concentration. It is not a movement for diversion, or to use an often used American slang term, ours is not a movement for space out. The moment the concentration goes into outer space, the moment where this happens, it is highly questionable if we are actually in Krishna consciousness. So let us talk therefore today on how we can create favorable circumstances so that we, the often diverted people of this age, can be concentrated. You know, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when this very bad age, Kali Yuga, is discussed, it is said that the quality of the people in Kali Yuga is, amongst other things, that they are always misdirected. Our mind always is in other things which are not favorable for spiritual life. It happens because we are in a very bad age. It's not always our fault. I mean, yes, we have to take responsibility, but it's very difficult to not freeze in the winter, or it's very difficult to not sweat in the summer. So it's very difficult to remain one-pointed, ekeha kurunandana, you know, vyavyasayatmika buddhir, in Kali Yuga. What is your experience? Am I talking sense? Is it that, or am I talking of a subject matter which is too high, too philosophical, too abstract, maybe? No. It's so difficult. Even this lecture, I can guarantee you, if you want to concentrate, you will have to struggle at times. So what are the circumstances which makes us more concentrated? A Western philosopher, Søren Kierkegaard, he said something which I would like to start with. He said, whenever your mind becomes too entangled, go out to the dead people and look from there on your life. Then you will be able to concentrate on what is essential. Srila Prabhupada he said in a much more clearer way, philosophy means to keep death before your eyes. Imagine we would take anyone of our audience and bring him into a situation which was similar to Maharaj Parikshit's. In other words, you would know, I will only have a few more moments. What would you do? You would definitely concentrate on Krishna or on your spiritual life. Have you ever made the thought experiment? Imagine you are executed to death, or death is just before the door, or you're driving in a ambassador and very fast, and you run towards another car. You will immediately, Krishna, 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 bang. This is what happens. And so before death, only the important things in life have any relevance. So a devotee who is often so diverted should practice this meditation. I have to die. It is very important that I use my time properly and don't waste it in totally unimportant or even maybe harmful activities. This is the lesson from this story of which Janaka Maharaj gave to the two brahmanas. But we as devotees do not only want to meditate about this. Krishna is there for the atheists. Even mundane philosophers therefore can say, if you become too entangled, go out of your situation and look back from the point of view that you have to die, and then you will see what is important to achieve in your life. But for devotees, they don't meditate about mrityu. Mrityu sarvaharascham. Krishna says, I am the death of all embodied beings. It's sometimes good to philosophically understand that yes, your human form of life is limited, use it well, but a devotee can think directly about Krishna. And one meditation about Krishna is certainly to think about Krishna as one's protector in life. One of the six forms of surrender to Krishna is to think, Krishna is my protector. He will take care of me. I want to talk a little bit how Krishna is a protector by first introducing you to this concept by bringing it to you, by going to Vrindavan and see a Vrindavan Leela. And then I want to talk about some more means where Krishna protects you. And I want to ask you to think about how Krishna protected you, or how does Krishna sometimes protect you. Maybe our devotees like Suhadas Prabhu can remember something and give a contribution to our lecture. Hare Krishna. Once, all the cowherd boys and the cows were in the forest of Vrindavan, and a demon started to attack them. This demon took the form of fire, and he set the whole forest of Vrindavan ablaze. It was in flames. So the cows were mooing with great anxiety, and they were very, very afraid. And the cowherd boys also started to become extremely afraid. Imagine you would find yourself surrounded by fire. It is so terrifying and so terrible. So the cowherd boys, they went to Krishna. My dear Krishna, you are our life, Prananath, and you are our only protector. Please protect us now. So Krishna said, yeah, please close your eyes. And the cowherd boys immediately obliged. Because when someone does something magical, you don't look. There is a movie which Gogopal informed me, there's a movie about a magician who does magical tricks, and he reveals his tricks. You know, he may all of a sudden make like and produce a pearl or a jewel. So if you are a friend to this magician, you don't look under this cupboard if maybe the jewel was there before. You just say, okay, do it, and then he does the thing and you laugh and you think, bravo, it's all right. If you are not friendly to the magician, you might try out how he did it. It's some trick. There must be some trick behind it. So the cowherd boy thought, okay, our Prana Bandhu, our Krishna, you know, he will protect us now, he will save us, but we should not look so closely. He will do something magical now. He's, after all, one of us, cowherd boys. He's also a cowherd boy. They're in their friendly relationship. They immediately understood. I closed my eyes. Because Krishna wanted them to not be so afraid by what would happen now, what he would do. And the boys thought, well, we will close our eyes because we don't want to look at Pranabandhu's tricks now. We don't want to discreetly look away. So when they had closed their eyes, Krishna inhaled. And the whole fire came into Krishna's mouth. And by yoga maya, it transformed to a beautiful amrita drink, nectar drink, like lassi. Sunday feast, we have lassi. Very cool, very refreshing. All the fire was reduced. And then Krishna, by his inconceivable energy, did another of his miracles. He didn't want his friends to open his eyes and see all this ashes and so on. So he brought them under their favorite meeting point and where they would rest also in the hot summer. He brought them immediately under a banyan tree, a certain banyan tree in Bandiravan, and they woke up at a different place. They continued with their leelas. Krishna is the protector. He protects the surrendered devotees. Also, he protects his devotees here in the material world. Some godbrothers of mine told me how once in Sweden they were on Sankirtan. And I do not know who of you has been in Sweden. It's a very cold place. Now you have this much of snow there, this time, October. Maybe it starts in a few days, November, December. So they were driving in a Sankirtan van on a road which was on the side. There were just mountains. It was with dynamite. This road had been laid into the mountain, and there was no space beyond the road. Am I clear? So they were driving since already 3 hours behind a very slow truck because they couldn't really overtake. And then the Sankirtan driver said, "We have to reach our next sankirtan spot, so he couldn't see what was going on, but he put his thing on the gas and he began to overtake the truck. This truck was like, you don't have them in India, it was like 20 meters long, you know, a heavy Western truck. And when they were on midway, they saw on the other side lane, on the other lane, a big van, Chevrolet van, speeding with a high speed towards them. And it meant only one thing. They couldn't put on the brakes any longer. The car would nevertheless hurt them. The car was coming down and was a little slippery. And driving to the left side would mean that all their speed, they would simply bang against the mountain and also die. So there was only death for them. Is the situation clear? Yeah. Also, our young listener, do you understand? Good. So they were here. So the driver thought, anyways, we have to die. He didn't think maybe like this. I don't know what he think. At least he took the car, which was high speed now, because speed means something else in the West than in India. He was throwing the wheel around and closing his eyes and saying, Krishna, and everyone, Krishna. And they thought, now we will just go against the rock and die. But with closed eyes, they continued to drive. And after a relatively long time, maybe 500 meters or so, he put the brakes on the car and saw that they were living, what had happened. Just when he pulled over into a little lane, which was the only lane which was in a stretch of 200 kilometers on this road. It was a lane which was made for the woodcutters to bring the cut wood for transportation into another town. And by Krishna's mercy, of Krishna's protection, he had pulled over. He had not even seen this lane. And he was going like a rocket into this only opening in rock. Hare Krishna. Krishna has protected him. And I think if you think now a little bit clearly, you will also understand how Krishna has protected you. One protection is that Krishna has brought us into the society of devotees. However, it is very important to understand one thing about living together with devotees, and I want to read this to you from the 4th canto, chapter 30, text 8. Is it 8? Yes. See, the association of devotees can be protective. Raj Kishore, you must listen to this one thing, and then I know you have many things to do, but this you must listen to. I know that I've just sent this to Bhakti Charu Maharaj, this point. You must hear this. Only this, then you can go. Have you ever experienced in the association of devotees great upliftment? Yes. Have you ever experienced great pain in the association of devotees? Yes. Sometimes. No, everyone is, I can't say yes now. I'm not supposed to say yes. After all, it's blissful in the association of devotees. Always has to be. At least I have to say it. I meet sometimes devotees who say, Maharaj, living in this temple is not always 100% easy. I've seen these devotees. So Here is a very relevant place in the Bhagavatam where the Supreme Personality of Godhead explains when a society of devotees is very protective even. He says, my dear sons of the king, my dear devotees of the Juhu temple, this is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so I am very much pleased by the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I am so pleased with the evil souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord or rendering service to the Lord is real unity. In other words, if we learn to cooperate together, that's real unity. In the material world, such unity is not possible. It's not possible, it's not easy. Even though people may officially unite, they all have different interests. In the United Nations, for instance, all the nations have their particular natural ambitions, and consequently, they cannot be united. Now listen very carefully. Disunity between individual souls is so strong within this world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, that's us, members sometimes appear disunited due to their having different opinions and leaning towards material things. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There's only one goal, to serve Krishna to one's best ability, united in any circumstance. This makes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very happy and willing to award all kinds of benediction to his devotees, as indicated in this verse. So, when there is quarrel amongst devotees, it's either spiritual or material. Raj Kishore, I know you have something important to do. I only wanted you to hear this. You please can. No, I don't want to keep you. No, honestly. You have to go. Hare Krishna. So, the protection amongst devotees in the society of Krishna consciousness is definitely there. The Lord is willing to give benedictions. If he sees we are just willing to unite a little bit and cooperate, then he's giving all the benedictions which we require for our spiritual life. Concentrate on this. Serve the Vaishnavas. Try to have good relationships, and you will see how Radha Rasa Bihari will personally bless us beyond all bold imaginations. Another way where we can feel the protection is in the presence of our spiritual master. Our spiritual master can, if we approach him, protect us against illusion. Like Krishna acted as a guru of Arjuna, and he took away the ignorance of his disciple, which made him fearful. If you surrender to the lotus feet of your spiritual master, you will immediately feel the protective energy of Krishna through his representative, who will take away ignorance, which is the cause of all your suffering. Maharaj Khatvanga was 2 moments before his death, but he surrendered to Krishna, the Supreme Protector. We may not always be remembering that we are in a particular situation in this material world, a very
dreadful, fearful situation, but also we need the protection of the Supreme Lord in order to create a concentrated atmosphere. You can sometimes think that who are you? You are meant to be, you are like a prisoner who is going for his death execution. Concentrate on the essential, that is on Krishna, and think about him as your protector, your only protector, and then experience how he extends his protection to you in many different ways. This was the lecture this morning. If you do have any question, now is the time to ask them. Before you ask, I want to thank you very much for giving a patient listening. The subject matter is a subject matter which is very, very relevant to my own life, Krishna as the only protector. And it has helped me to concentrate on Krishna, to meditate on this quality of the Lord, and go to more essential things. Hare Krishna, do you have any questions?
One comment and one question.
One comment and one question, yes. Concentrate our minds on Krishna. This question is a question very often put in our North European zone. We try to have a very successful Sankirtan Yagya, and sometimes Sankirtan devotees ask this question, I have to give out the books, I can't really think of Krishna. So when it's a relevant point, and Srila Harikesh Maharaj often says, well, when Arjuna was fighting for Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he did not go into some very deep meditations about Krishna's qualities, but he just had to make sure that the arrows were coming out, and single-handedly he defeated one terrible army alone. So but at the same time, so sometimes we are very, very busy, isn't it? Very busy. Office work, preaching to the life members, and it's very difficult to imagine how you then can concentrate on Krishna. It seems like almost two different things, isn't it? Well, the answer is given that you must be in the consciousness that you are doing it for Krishna. Do think, I'm making a life member for Krishna. And once you are in this mood, then you are in Krishna consciousness. One can make a garden for Krishna, one can shop for Krishna, everything for Krishna. This is how Prabhupada taught us, and this is how we can meditate about Krishna. During darshan, you can also meditate, you can look very intently on the deities. You can sometimes ask you during the day, what was the outfit which Radha Rasa Vihari were wearing? I think if I would ask them, let's make an experiment. No one is allowed to look now at the deities. What color outfit do Radha Rasa Vihari have today?
Yellow green.
Other opinions?
Green.
Brownish green. Bluish green. Blue and yellow. So let us look. Yeah, it looks like blue and yellow. Very good.
Hare Krishna, what is your name? Huh? Oh, Gopal Krishna. Very good. Remember that you have a point also. So, this you can also do. It's a very pleasant meditation. If I would not have looked at the deities, I would not have been able to say it just now, because I didn't do my own meditation. But it can help. It can help. Concentrate your mind on Krishna can be also done by reading. And then, towards the day, remembering what you have read. Reading is not an intellectual torture which must be done because it's the instruction of the spiritual master. It's something which should help us remember Krishna. That's why we read at all. If we don't read regularly, we won't be able to remember Krishna very easily. He will not appear in our thoughts so often. Only when we have quarrels we will think, oh Krishna, help me. But that's not the best. We should only remember Krishna in misery. But positive remembrance will come to a devotee who reads. Devaki Nandan Prabhu. Oh, I may have... sorry, but you are the next. Yes. Yes, Prabhu? What is your name? What is your name? Kamajan. Sometimes we do our service, but then some disturbance come out. Well, you are in the material world. What do you expect? Prabhupada gave a very interesting example. He said, when someone wants to push a boat into the ocean, you can watch this here on the Juhu beach. We have people who have boats and who put their boats out. There will never be... you can't wait until no more waves come. There will not be a moment when no waves come. So since you are in the material world, there are the waves of material existence. Hunger, thirst, lamentation, sleep. Wave of sleep and misery and one other wave which I can't remember at the present moment. Don't expect that no obstacles will come in the material world. It's a place full of disturbances, just like an ocean is a place of waves. You would be totally naive to expect no waves. It's just coming. I know, I'm born next to the ocean, and we lived at the ocean, and one wave after the other, from morning till evening. You can't say, well, ocean, when do you have your Sunday holiday? I want to swim without disturbance, you know, just have one, you know, go on vacation, you know, tell me the date and I will go then. No. How to deal with the disturbances is you must have developed three qualities. You must be satisfied in yourself, satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Then, I must remember properly from Prabhupada's words. Yes, confident. Okay, I'm disturbed, but I'm engaging in Krishna's service. Krishna will accept my service. And you must have a feeling of well-being. Then you won't be so disturbed so easily. But if you are not confident in your life... Oh, now I have it. And if you have... The first quality was security. If you don't feel secure in your life, if you don't feel confident, means hopeful, and if you have no Krishna conscious well-being, then small things might totally upset you. Does this help? At least you can be confident, I think. Oh, I'm disturbed now, but I'm a devotee of Radha Rasa Vihari. They will accept me with even my disturbed condition. It's necessary. It is unbearable. Mahaprabhu, he said, there will always be disturbance in this world. I remember Leela, but it takes too long to explain it. Yeah, Hare Krishna.
I have one question and something else. I don't know whether it's a question or what, but it happened with me, and I did feel Krishna's protection.
Mm-hmm.
He told the story that how the body was going.
Yeah.
Same kind of situation. Once I was driving, and I have 2-3 devotees from here only, and we are coming from a jail prison. We went to preach to criminals.
Yes.
We studied like 150 Gita. We are coming to a late night. The truck standing on the road, I took a side, the other truck, big truck coming, there had no light. And last I saw that my car was between these two wheels of the truck. Close the eye. And then we saw the car was other side, and nothing happened. Only motor guard came out, no devotee were hurt, nothing happened.
Really?
I just felt for it.
Krishna protected you, yes.
So we are dead.
Yeah.
Another thing, I question that you say that we should see Krishna not always in distressed condition, but also in favorable condition.
Yes.
But Mother Kunti, she prays Yudhasana Kuna Satya Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru.
Yes. Yes. Devakinandan Prabhu told us one story. They were driving late at night, coming from a program, and they had to overtake one truck, and a truck without light came towards them, and they couldn't go any other way. So he prepared himself to leave the body, and closed the eyes, and was ready to go. When he opened his eyes, he saw the danger was over. Krishna had protected them, and apparently moved your car. Maybe he took it and placed it somewhere else. The second is a question. Queen Kunti said that in material, she wants even material distress, because in a distressful situation, Krishna is close to a devotee. But I have said in the lecture, we should not only pray to Krishna when we are in distress, but we should also try to remember him favorably. It seems that there are two opposite statements. Well, it is definitely the let me say, Queen Kunti gives an example of a devotee who turns to Krishna in utter helplessness as her only protection. Because she made so many favorable experiences that Krishna also protected them in their distress. She wants this distress again and again. It's not really that she wants distress, she wants Krishna again and again. It's the sum of substance of sadhana that we should remember Krishna always. If we don't remember Krishna always, then maybe at a time of distress we don't even remember Krishna. There was a very interesting example in Vrindavan of a farmer who died. This farmer, in India, I don't know if all of it do, but usually the father keeps all the money, has all the possessions, and then at the end of life gives it to the sons and so on and so forth. So this man got a heart attack which paralyzed him, so that he was laying on the bed and he could not speak any longer. So the sons, Sudas Prabhu, the sons wanted to know, where is the money? Where are the rupees? Please tell us.
But he could not say it. And he was in pain. He could not give like hand gestures and so on. So they went to an Ayurvedic Kavaraj and said, "Can you take care that our father can just speak maybe for 1 minute? He's just dying. Can you give him medicine?" "Yes," said the Ayurvedic Kaviraj, but it's extremely expensive. It's with gold and pearls and, you know, they have really powerful medicines which sometimes are extremely expensive. Are you prepared to pay?" "Yes, yes, yes, money won't be any problem. We are only hearing where the money is. If we need the money for this 1 minute." So they came to the father, and the father was there on the bed, and he wanted to speak. He was just dying. So they said, "Father, yes, yes, you will be able to tell us, you know, just wait, we give this one medicine." They administered it on the tongue. And then the father, he spoke. "You fools! Look there! What do you see?" They all looked, and they saw a typical village scene. You know, in the court, some calf. They didn't see anything special. And again the father said, "You fools! See! This calf is eating a broom! In my absence, you will not be able to take care of what I leave you. This, you are good for nothing. This calf is eating a broom." And then he was dying. Most probably next life, you know, he was thinking of the calf and the broom. I don't know. He was not thinking of Krishna. It was not very favorable. He even forgot to tell them where the money was. So, if you don't practice remembrance of Krishna, it's not very good. It won't come to you, even in dangerous moments. You will call out Mama, Papa, or any other thing. Krishna. The way which I feel is most practical of remembering Krishna is when we read, we should try to remember what we read and preach it. This is extremely helpful to learn applying it there. Because when you preach, you need to say something, right? And you need to say something about Krishna, so why not what you have read? Then your preaching is authorized and powerful. Krishna, Krishna. I think we're coming to an end of our class. Thank you very much for listening. Please take this out of the class. Two advices. Also, you should be able to become more concentrated in your life. This you can do by a negative meditation, that you only have limited time. But you can also create a favorable atmosphere in which you can remember Krishna. This is done by thinking, for instance, about Krishna's protection, because we are thinking about and reading the literature, and then preaching it, we were saying this is a good advice. And you might find your own ways and means how you can concentrate your mind on Krishna. Because our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore called Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha, the association of persons who are simply satisfied in thoughts of Krishna. This we should learn. Then we are in the real ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Sisi Rasa Rasa Vihari ki jai, Go Premanandi Ali Ali Go.